Metro's Purple Line Extension will be conducting daily construction activities on Wilshire Boulevard between San Vicente Boulevard and La Cienega Boulevard in the city of Beverly Hills. This work will make way for the first three stations of the rail line's extension to the west side. For details, visit metro.net/purple-line-extension.
Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the time.
Well, hello and welcome to the 35th episode of the Being Brilliant Radio Show. This is your host, Amy Hunter-Jones, happiness and high-performance coach and hypnotist for being brilliant in the way you both live and lead your life and those around you. You can find me at www.amyhackett.com. We have a little background noise today because I'm trying a live show at the very same time. And I think I might just cancel the live show because there's too much background noise. What do you say, Anna?
Let's do that. I think yes.
We'll have to do the video another time. Let me just come back. The Being Brilliant Radio Show is a deep and impactful look at what it takes to be brilliant. I've still got some background noise. How's that?
That's much better.
That's much better. Here we go. So the Being Brilliant Radio Show is a deep and impactful look at what it takes to be brilliant. The show invites you, our listener, to step into the very essence of who you are being as you show up to life. My guests bring a combination of inspirational teachings coupled with practical tools and essential life and leadership skills translated into actionable strategies so that you, our listeners, may step into being the very best version of yourselves. My interviewees are high performers, thought leaders, game changers, pioneers, dreamers, adventurers, wayseers, visionaries, as well as friends and family, those whom I believe live brilliantly and who travel magically through life, shining their own light so others may do the same. And today I have a wonderful, wonderful woman on the show. This is Ana Garcia. She's from Colombia. And as many of you know, I used to live in Panama and I absolutely love the Latin vibe and really the life and soul that comes along with that. So I'm really, really happy to have Ana here. She's a playful, vivacious and inspirational relationships coach and speaker committed to guiding individuals through their journey of self-discovery back to love and peace post-painful relationships and events. She is the founder of Discover Me, the confidence-building program series that has changed the lives of hundreds of women in London through its transformational work with schools and children's centers. Ana has also dedicated the past 10 years working with women to discover how extraordinary they are, to have them know their power, and to understand how to be in their relationships with others, and most importantly, with themselves. Post-loss or relationship breakups. She has been showing women how to reconnect with their own journey again, whether they are in marriage, single, or separated. She has been gifting this to women throughout the world. As an old soul, just like me, Ana has been extraordinarily committed to her own spiritual and emotional growth, overcoming her own journey of domestic abuse, bereavement, and divorce. Ana, thank you so much for being on the show. I absolutely cannot wait to dive in with you here today.
Thank you for having me. It's an absolute pleasure, Amy. Thank you.
Oh, it's just wonderful. And I'm so glad I met you at that event just recently. And to see you speak with just such incredible poise and presence was a real gift. So thank you very much.
Thank you. We'd like to meet you there. How awesome was that?
So I'd love to dive in, as I always do with the shows, really into your story, because for me, the human story is the one that's always the most interesting. And they always say the truth is stranger than fiction. So there's always wonderful gems to bring up and to share and to gift to the world. So I'd love you just to start with your background. Go back a few years. How did you start? And just share with us the beginning of your journey.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. So I was born in the UK. I was born in London to immigrant families. I grew up in a very loving environment, although my mother suffered with mental health issues, depression, anxiety. Having come over from Colombia at a very young age, she was very isolated. So I grew up in an environment. I never really knew, you know, what was going to happen at home, you know. And my parents divorced when I was very young. So I saw my mum go through that trauma. We became a single parent family. I grew up in a council estate and all those kind of things that come with that. When I was 12, my mum decided, right, we're going back to Colombia. She'd had enough and we packed up and left. And that was quite traumatic. But those 3 years that I lived in Colombia were absolutely amazing. As you know, from your own experience, Latin America is an exquisite experience. At the age of 15, what I call an angel came my way. It's one of those human beings, people that come across your path at that time when, you know, you were least expecting this. And it was an old friend of my dad's, childhood friend, and I hadn't seen him since I was a kid. And he said, you know, what are your expectations of life? What are you thinking? I said, I don't know. Study an extra language, you know, and teach and eventually, I don't know. And he said, well, you were born in the UK, you have a British passport, you speak English, doesn't that give you a sign that maybe you should be over there? And it was such a simple conversation, but it changed my world. And in that moment, I knew that there was something more. My soul got reactivated. So there I was at the age of 15, 3 months later after that conversation, I landed at Heathrow Airport. And I looked up at the sky and I said, oh my goodness, what have I done? 15 on my own. And in that moment, I just said a prayer and I said, God, please just make me your instrument. Now, I had no idea what that meant at the time. I was too young, possibly. But one says you need to be careful what you ask for. And those prayers you forget, but they don't forget you. And for the next 10 years or so, really it was about making me that instrument. So by the time I was 20, I'd been married, divorced, lost a child. I was in a domestic violent relationship for about 3 years during that period. You know, and a number of things, you know, by the time I was 25, I'd experienced unemployment, I'd experienced homelessness, you name it, you know, like I really
had
that instrument. And in order to do that, I guess you need to experience pretty much everything under the sun so that you can have empathy and understanding of the people that I would be going to work with. I graduated. I had no idea what I was going to do next, and I ended up on a program that supported the unemployed, and that is when I met the first facilitator ever, and I could not believe this person was getting paid for what they did. And that's where my career found me. I ended up being spotted by one of them, and little did I know, you know, they began to train me up as a facilitator, and I was training unemployed, the unemployed 18 to 24 year olds unemployed from Hackney, you know, to start the day. Program. It was ruthless training, you know, that they'd come in and they're like, what are you going to teach me, like, you know, with their jeans off them, their caps down, and it was terrifying. But I thought it was the best training. And 3 years after that, I decided, you know, I went quite far in within that kind of company. I was training up trainers around the country and setting up training systems and programs, but my soul began to call again, and this time it was, Anna, you need to do your own thing. So I went independently. And that is when, that was now about 10 years ago, where I began to work within the Borough of Greenwich in London, and gradually ended up working with parents. And that's where the Discover Me program came about. And just fell in love with working with women. And then over the last 2 years went public, and last year we launched Relationships Intensive program. And now that is the love of my life. Working with women to get back to, you know, to themselves so that they can blossom and then become, so that the bee then comes. Because we hit that, you know, we go around flying like a flower, but flying around after the bee, when in fact, you know, the bee needs to come to the flower, whatever that may be. So there you go. That's a little bit of the story in the background.
Goodness me. There's an awful lot in there. Goodness me. Okay. So that journey, what were the sort of key aha moments? I mean, you mentioned, you know, you sort of asked to be the instrument, and you talked about that. Can you dive a little bit more into that and share how you do that? Because I know that people may not quite understand what you mean by that, like sharing, you know, channeling and that sort of thing. What is it that you mean by that?
Yeah, sure. Well, I at the time, I'll be honest, I had no idea what that meant exactly. I just knew that I wanted to serve. Yeah.
I knew
that I had a feeling in me that I came here to do something for others. And so, you know, it then became a whole 10 years of like being in the desert. It was a lot of, you know, I became a victim of domestic violence. I went through the experience of coming out of union, not having a clue how to find work because we're not trained in that. That was very traumatic. One of them being, you know, at the age of 23, I learned that my dad wasn't my dad. I was actually, you know, the result of an affair, and you know, and all of those kind of, yeah, that was a massive identity crisis for about 2 years, and all of those things, you know, it turns you into a bit of a victim, and you kind of, why me? And
yes.
Depression, you know. I know what it is to wake up in the morning resenting the sun coming up, you know, resenting the birds singing. I don't want I don't want life to continue, and like that awful feeling, and then feeling awful Catholic guilt afterwards having been brought up by Catholic.
Of course, yeah.
God, please forgive me, it's blasphemous. until one day another angel came along, and she said to me, Anna. When I say angel, I mean, it's just a friend, someone that came along at the right time and said to me, Anna, you need to change your question. The question shouldn't be why me, but rather what for?
There you go.
Yeah, that was an incredible moment. And what it does, it's such a cure for depression as well, because when you're in a depressed state, it's all inside, you know, it's all going within. When we do the opposite, it's expression. So we actually start thinking about, hang on a minute, what's the purpose of this? There must be a purpose. What for? And so we start looking outside of us and how can we be of service? And the moment we shift into going to service, it cures anything, any broken heart, really, I find is my experience. So that was a pivotal moment, Amy, you know, the moment where I turned from why me to what for. And it was such a powerful moment because then it reconfigured everything for me. And I started looking for opportunities and opportunities started looking for me. And that's really where my career really hit off. Yeah, I'd say that was a key moment.
Fantastic. What for? I love that. It really turns the why me on its head, doesn't it, as you said?
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Okay. So the work that you're doing currently with women particularly, what are you finding that, I mean, you've obviously been through a whole array of experiences that one wouldn't wish upon anybody. Mm-hmm. What are you finding that women are particularly looking for?
That's such a fantastic question, Amy, you know. Women come to my events most of the time for one of a couple of things. One is because they wish to find love. They wish to create relationship and they've not been successful in doing that. Or two, because they're in a relationship, but they're a little bit either resigned or confused or not sure how to get out of it or how to make it better. Or they've just dealt with breakups. So one of those three things primarily. And what they then find out that they're actually looking for the whole time is themselves.
I love that.
We have it that there's something outside of us that's going to make us whole and complete, when in fact that empty feeling that we have, that disconnect, is a disconnection with ourselves. And it's a lack of trust and a lack of love. And I believe we're living in a time where there's an epidemic, I think, of lack of self-love. I really do believe that we are brought up, we are conditioned to become addicted to approval from others, everything comes from the outside. And the analogy I love to use as well as the flower and the bee is, you know, we forget that we are the sun, we are our own light, and we become satellites around other people, particularly men. Women generally, in my experience that I work with, have made their partner or their boyfriend or their loved one, their sun. You know, that's who they go to for their love, for their light, for their joy. And then what happens when that person suddenly changes their mind or disappears or is no longer in their life? it's distraught. It can be devastating. So what we do is remind women, you know, the message is remember who you are before you step out there onto others so that you don't get lost. You know, when we start a relationship, how often do we just hand over our heart and go, here you are, now you're responsible for this? You know?
Yes.
We've all done it because that's the lazy way. And we all do this. We've been conditioned. In the films teach us how to do this. Songs teach us how to do this. And so it's not our fault. It's just the conditioning. But it's a losing battle. So it really is about remember who you are and stand in your sovereignty. Stand in your sovereignty and centered so that regardless of whoever or whatever comes and goes, you can stand and be the soul of any place, you know. I think that's essentially what, you know, what women are coming for. They're looking for something outside of themselves, and I go, hey, the whole time what you've been looking for is inside of you, and what you've been running away from is also inside of you. So that's all we need to deal with, you.
Wonderful. And when you say remember who you are, I mean, I've been working on this for quite some time too, and keep coming back to that about the sovereignty. What do you find that women, you know, what do they say to you? What do you mean, remember who you are? Because it seems like, I remember when I first heard that the first time 10 years ago, so I was like, what on earth are you talking about? And usually people start off with, well, I'm Amy and I'm a coach and I'm a daughter and I'm a sister, and they end up with all of their roles, and that's what people, you know, what people think they are. If you could explain that, what would you say?
Yeah, absolutely. Gosh, I think the easiest or the simplest answer to that question is kind of remembering who I am not so that I can get to who I am. So I am not all those things, you know. I am not somebody's partner. I am not somebody's daughter. I am not, although in the day-to-day of things we are, that is not who I am, you know. And the example I love to give, or the analogy I love to give, is you know how in London we rarely get sun, right? It's so great at America, some sunshine. We really get sun. And it's the reality is the sun is always there. We just have a lot of clouds. And I believe that we, as human beings, we forget that we are the sun, and we get focused on the clouds. And what are the clouds? The clouds are our emotions. The clouds are our thoughts. Everything that comes and goes, our past, our traumas, our stories, our limiting beliefs particularly. And we believe that those clouds are who we are, i.e. my depression or my anxiety or my divorce or the fact that I'm a victim of domestic violence. And we attach ourselves to those clouds and we think that's who we are, but that's just the me. It's not the I. I is the one that is unwavering, the one that is always there, the one that you can always count on to come back to. That is the essence of you. But we become so disconnected to that, and therefore we start seeking outside of us that which we feel we're disconnected from. And so that's what I mean by remember who you are. And I really believe that's our journey as human beings. You know, we come here, that's the journey, remember who you are. And it's not I don't believe it's a sprint. In fact, I believe that those sprinters, those personal development junkies, those of us who spend years, I need to get the next, I need to understand, you know. I remember I went through the phase right at the beginning of my, you know, kind of transformational stage. I was starving of it, and I couldn't get enough books, I couldn't get enough seminars, and then I realized actually it's not a sprint, and the more you try and force your growth, actually the more you stunt it. Remembering who you are is what are you not. And the lovely example I love to give is when Michelangelo's David, you know, the nude in Florence, and when he was interviewed, I mean, you know, he'd carved out this incredible nude out of this marble block, and when he was asked, you know, how on earth did you get David out of that block, and he said, no, David was always in there, I just had to chip away at what wasn't David.
Yeah, I love that.
And I think that's such a great example of how we are. You know, we are there. It's just that we've become distracted with so many things, you know, like our past and our programming and our, you know, our addictions to emotions, our addictions to being appraised, to being validated, to being accepted, and the amount of things in order to get those things, you know, they're addictions. So that's how I would answer that question. And yes, who are we not? We're not those things, you know?
That's amazing. I remember hearing once Oprah Winfrey was talking about, I mean, all of the thousands and thousands of people that she's interviewed over the years. And she said, after the interview's done, after the cameras and lights are all off, every single person without fail has come up to me and said, did I do okay? Isn't that amazing when you think of the caliber of people that she's interviewed, from, you know, Hollywood stars to scientists to I don't know who, whatever. They've all come up to her afterwards seeking that validation. Did I do okay? And I just think that's incredible. We, you know, as a species, we're seeking that so much, left, right, and center. I love that you bring that in and you talk about it so passionately, and really keep it simple like that. Who are we not? And you start chipping away like David, like Michelangelo.
Yeah, indeed, you know. And that, you know, was that okay? We all walk around, am I okay? Am I okay? You know, and we don't say those words, but we're walking around constantly, am I okay? In the way that we dress, in the way that we present ourselves. You know, even when we ask people, how are you doing? Are you okay? Who are we really asking? Am I okay? and it's something so unconscious, you know. It's like, you know, they say that 95% of our behavior is actually very unconscious, and a lot of it is based on, yeah, I love it, that's the area that we explore in terms of our relationships, you know. It's the undercurrent. As much as we're saying, you know, this is what I would love, this is the kind of relationship that I would love, that's only 5%. The undercurrent is the programming that we're going against, and part of that is the, am I good enough? You know, and addiction, constantly asking that question. But have I got it right? Yeah, but am I good enough? And that's not who we are.
And it seems to me, in all the years of that I've been coaching as well, that is the number one, the good enough. Am I good enough? Or am I? It's the number one limiting belief that we have across the board.
Which
then stems that question and the seeking for approval. So my next question would be, how do you help women to identify that they've actually even got this belief of not good enough? Because most, like you say, most of us run around on the programming that we've been brought up on autopilot, and things are just the way they are because they're the way they are.
Yeah,
and women haven't necessarily, or men as well, but we just haven't really stepped out of that to be able to see that actually what we're running on is a fairly warped belief that was never ours to begin with. It was, we just made it up along, or it was handed to us at some point.
Yeah.
So how do you help women to identify that?
Do you know what? This is so exciting, because what's really exciting is it's a bit like, you see, every time I'm going to run a relationships intensive program, the campaign is simply based on come and create the relationship that you love, okay? And that's the base. And everybody comes along, either because whether they're in a relationship or they're tired of being single or they want to get out of their relationship, but they're still committed to creating a relationship they love, right? So people come along, oh, I know. And the question is, why is this not working? Why? Why am I still single? Or why am I not able to exit this relationship? Why am I not happy in this relationship, or etc.? And the answer is always, well, let's take a look. What is the belief that's going on underneath that? Either one, has you overstay your welcome in a relationship when you know you should have left a long time ago? What has you stay? Mm-hmm. And when we start asking those questions, they turn around and say, well, because I'm worried that I won't be able to find someone else. Where does that stem from? You know, I'm not good enough, right? And or I'm unworthy, I'm unlovable. It's always one of three main ones, right? Well, so we explore, but there's, you know, generally there's about three, four of the ones that I cover in the main event. One of them being I'm not good enough, the other one being I'm unworthy, I'm unlovable. Now, if you're walking around with that as an undercurrent, is there any surprise that it's so challenging to seek out or to create a relationship that you love? Particularly women who come to me and they say, I don't understand. I express all my love and my care, yet he doesn't give a, you know, two monkeys. Why is it that as soon as I start expressing lots of interest, he suddenly goes cold? It's like, well, did you know that there are four types of relationships? No. And when you operate within the codependent, for example, do you not know that you tend to attract the aloof type? No way. Yes, and then we're doing the codependent aloof dance. And that's all based on beliefs, because the aloof has another set of beliefs around control and trust. So of course they're going to be the codependent. Can you see how crazy it is? So how important is it to understand these beliefs? So when women come to me and they go, oh, I don't know why I'm not able to create the relationship that I love, I'm like, well, let's have a look. And you usually down to one of two limiting beliefs. That is it. And are they ever going to go away? No, the limiting beliefs never go away. However, becoming aware of it makes all the difference, because you are now conscious of your behavior. You are now able to make our choices as opposed to being at the of your beliefs. It's fascinating stuff. That is a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant point, Amy, question, because that's exactly how we deal with it.
Yeah, fantastic. I love it. You mentioned there there's four different types of relationship, and I remember you talking about that at the talk I heard you or saw you give, which was absolutely brilliant. I loved what you did there. Can you share those, the four of them on this program?
Yeah, sure, no problem. I mean,
I mentioned one just briefly.
Yeah. I mean, I'll go simply over them. I mean, there's so much to go them, but and in brief, we all hang around all of them, but we tend to adopt one in particular, generally speaking. So first of all, it's the codependent. So if you imagine two circles, and you're one circle, and then you've got the other circle, which is your partner or your lover, etc., those two circles are overlapping in the middle, and so we form the codependence. And the idea is that it's, I can't live without you. Yeah, the song that goes, I can live, right? And I love it, because like it just goes to show how much we've been conditioned to that type of loving.
Absolutely.
it literally is, there's something missing in me and you complete me, okay?
Yeah.
So what happens is that codependent, generally speaking, attracts an aloof, which is the second type of relationship. And the aloof, if you imagine two circles, the two circles could not be further away from each other. I can't trust you, myself, others, or the world. And I must control myself, others, or the world. That those are the two main beliefs that run the aloof. And so when the codependent meets the aloof, the codependent is running after the aloof, you know, and then the aloof is like, please, I can't control your emotions. I don't know how to handle you. I can't trust you and your emotions. So for the aloof is probably like something on the lines of, can't touch this, you know, like that. They want to stay away, like, keep away, can't touch this. And it's fascinating. And why do we, women say to me, why do I keep attracting the aloof guy? Or the aloof woman tells me, why do I keep attracting the codependent? Well, here it is. It's because we all have beliefs, and our biggest undercurrent is to validate those beliefs. So when I, as a codependent, seek out an aloof, the moment they turn their back to me or they push me away, they are proving that my belief that I'm unworthy or that I'm not good enough, they are validating that belief. The ego is so insidious. I'm saying, I want relationship. I would love relationship. That's just 5% of our behavior. 95%, which is the undercurrent, is going completely the other way, going, nope, I'm unworthy, I'm unlovable, and therefore I must find myself an aloof person that will prove me otherwise. You see? So that would validate those beliefs. So those are those two. That's fascinating. And then you've got dominant submissive. You know, and dominant submissive, you imagine one big circle is the dominant person, and then you imagine a dot in the middle, like a donut. That is the submissive, right? And the name itself explains it all. You know, the dominant submissive song that came, so funny when I share this in my programs, and people are shocked at the kind of dominant submissive songs that we've been listening to and the influence of them. And we have no idea. But you know that song by The Police? I'm trying to remember what the song is. I'll be watching you. Watching. Yeah. Like, how awesome was that song? But when you start breaking down the lyrics, it's like, seriously? Every step you take, every breath, I will be watching you. Seriously? very dominant. And the dominant submissive relationship is very much based on physical, and it's very much based on the power belief. So I'm powerless, or I feel powerful, and it's constantly on a pendulum, and they rotate between each other. Now, we all hang out, all of them. You know, if I'm codependent, I'm trying to seek the attention of my lover and he's aloof, so then I'll go aloof, but then aloof doesn't work, it hurts me, so then I'll go dominant. Or I'll go into submission. So we hang around all of that. Ultimately, a number four is synergy. And synergy is just based on love and will. It's not based on any limiting beliefs as such. And it's the kind of relationship that you have with your pet. It's the kind of relationship that you have with a baby. It's the kind of relationship you have with your friend from the other side of the world that you haven't seen in ages. But when you come together again, it's like, it's easy. It's non-competitive. It's, you know, you know those kind of relationships that's just easy. You may not see them for years, but then you come together and it's just, some of us have siblings like that. Some of us have people in our life like that. They're not as common because we're run by our beliefs, by our undercurrent. So synergy doesn't require any of that. So it is a beautiful just flow. And if you imagine the two circles, they're just touching, but they're side by side and it's just buzzing and creating fireworks. Yeah. So those are the four types of relationships. The first three are based on limiting beliefs and we're not aware what they are. So what we endeavor to do in our work is to uncover all the undercurrent. And when you understand your undercurrent, it gives you so much power and understanding and therefore better choices. And conscious choices as well, so that you don't keep repeating the same patterns.
Amazing. I love it.
It's fascinating.
It's wonderful to hear you go through it again, because obviously I saw you do that live in person. And with the songs as well, it just really brings it alive. I love that. Brilliant. So this is Amy Hackett-Jones on the Being Brilliant radio show, episode number 35, interviewing Anna Garcia, who is a relationship expert and public speaker. Anna is, as you can hear, a very playful, vivacious and inspirational coach and speaker committed to guiding individuals through their journey of self-discovery back to love and peace post-painful relationships and events. So Anna, thank you so much. We're halfway through and I've still got lots of questions for you.
Go ahead.
It looks like we might even have a caller on the line. I'm not entirely sure. So I'm just going to bring them on and see if they have a question. So just one moment. Hello, do we have a caller on the line? Hello? Maybe not. No, I don't know quite what that was. Anyway, so there's four, we tend to oscillate around each one of them, these four different elements of relationship. And your aim is to get, in your relationship intensive, is to get people into synergy. Is that right?
Well, one could think that, yes. It would be very tempting to say that our ultimate goal is to have synergistic relationships. But the reality is, Amy, that as far as we're living, we have an ego. And as far as we have an ego, we have limiting beliefs. And so it is not even, I wouldn't even suggest or encourage people to try and fight that. I love with my friends, I love to be able to have the conversation where, you know, we might go traveling. I've got, you know, friends that we do a lot of business travel, etc., and we find how codependent we become. You know, it's like, oh, are you going to lunch now? Yeah, should we go together? Oh, look at us, how codependent we're becoming, right? About it, you know, we laugh about it, and it's just about observing. It's not about not going there, but it's rather we are now very conscious about when I go into a loop. I notice when I go into a loop, defense mechanism. You know, it's just a way of being sometimes, and none of them are wrong or right. Yeah, synergy. What I love about synergy, though, or another way we can call it is sovereignty as well, is how important to own your sovereignty before you engage in relationships. You know, and I really wish that we could have been taught this as young girls. I really wish that, you know, we have been taught that actually you don't need anybody outside of you to complete you. And then coming from that space, you see, because so many marriages are built on empty, you know, kind of expectations two empty dominoes leaning on each other, and it's like, how frail is that? You know, so many relationships are based on so much attachment, because if I'm empty, I'm hoping that you're going to fill me up. So when we go into synergy, when we go into sovereignty, it's such an incredible space to come from in relationships. But it's not to say that we're not going to oscillate between all of them, because we absolutely are. But at least being aware of synergy is such a powerful space to be in, especially when you're struggling in a conversation, when you're going into a meeting. This is business. It's vital to be able to know how to go into synergy, because that, you know, in our events we go through the different techniques into how to go into synergy, and it's such a powerful energy so that you're not in, you're not going into a defensiveness or into an attack with other people. It's such a powerful space to be in, because then it also avoids women going into relationships for the wrong reasons, i.e., I don't want to be alone. I need to fix something in me. When you're in your sovereignty, you're grounded, and in that space, and this is the advanced program that we run, is learning how to go into that sovereignty, not because we're going to go into codependence or aloof or dominance and missive, but rather it's now I know exactly how to go into sovereignty and what it feels like, and I can hang out there a lot more, and at least in my relationship with myself, I can be in sovereignty at any time that I choose. And inside of that, it creates a level of irresistibility. It creates a presence, a centeredness that inevitably will attract someone who is also usually in their sovereignty too. So therefore, you end up with much healthier relationships.
Which is just wonderful. Could you describe what you mean by being in your sovereignty?
I mean, a mantra that I use is, wherever you stand, be the soul of that space. What that means, it's not dominating the space, it's not being the boss of a space, it is just standing grounded, knowing that you belong wherever you are, knowing that you're in the perfect place at the perfect time, knowing that you are whole and complete just the way that you are. That really is associated with sovereignty is also innocence. If you think of children when they're babies, when they're young, without the, you know, the baggage of the limiting beliefs, they're so free and they're independent of the opinion of others. And they have love and will, you know. We lose that as we grow older because of all these, you know, experiences that we have that develop these limiting beliefs. So sovereignty really is about coming back to you. It's the conversation we were having earlier, you know, remembering who you are and standing in that, not from a space of pride. You know, Brené Brown, a great author.
Yes, I love her.
She's got a mantra. They're not the exact same words. I've adapted her. I say, you know, in any situation where I may be attacked or I may feel nervous or I feel like I need to defend myself, I say to myself, Anna, don't puff up. And don't cower down. Stand firmly on your ground. And that really takes me into sovereignty. It really helps me that no matter what's being said to me in any given moment, I can just be with what's being said and I don't have to go into an attack or a defensiveness. And especially in the UK, we're taught to not show off. Oh, don't show off. Don't show off. You know, if you've experienced being told, stop showing off. You know, it's a very part of our culture here.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
That with showing up. And I believe that our ultimate self-expression is showing up. And so when we're in our sovereignty, because there's no concern about showing off or, you know, cowarding down or, you know, bowing down, what it allows us to do is just stand in that beautiful, gorgeous centeredness and presence. And that is what sovereignty is. It's knowing that you are whole and complete. I am whole and complete. And together, when we come together in sovereignty, it's just the fireworks. You know, no one's taking energy off anyone, no one's trying to dominate anyone, no one's competing with anyone. It's just a very powerful energy to create in.
I love that, because that feeds straight back into what we were mentioning earlier, the you complete me phrase that we seem to have been drummed into us, or you know, a lot of people seem to believe that that's what we're looking for, is that completion by someone else, because we're incomplete ourselves. And so what you've described as sovereignty now, just feet, just knocks that one out of the ballpark, because it's just so not true.
Yeah. I'm almost for sure that I would not have been yet another teenage pregnant young girl if I had my sovereignty from a young age. I was seeking outside of me that which I felt was missing. I was alone. I was estranged from my family. And so I felt I needed to belong somewhere else, and I got completely lost. So learning how to be in your sovereignty blows out of the water a heck of a lot of problems as well. Because all of our issues comes from that disconnection. So being in sovereignty is knowing that you are enough for you, and you enjoy and love your own company, and your life becomes very different. It's about self-loving, you know. And one of the ways that I celebrate my sovereignty is on a daily basis. Instead of asking myself, what would I like to drink, or what would I like to wear, or where would I like to go, or who would I like to be with, I say, what would I love to wear? What would I love to do? What I love time, and that comes from the heart, and it changes the experience of life, doesn't it? Just the term like to love.
Yes.
It's given me permission to love who I am and love my life, and that for me is a beautiful sovereignty as well.
I love that. Something I also notice a lot as well is when you ask people how they are, and the automatic response is, oh, fine. Or mustn't grumble, or could be better. And I just think, is that it? Really? So, how are you? Well, I'm brilliant, I'm fantastic, I'm sure the world. Or not, but share how you really are, not just fine, which is sort of just non-committal and non-engaged and totally not present.
Yeah, I mean, most people will. I'm saying, hey, how are you? But we don't really want to know how you are. Just keep going, you know?
Yes, exactly.
It's the world we live in. I think the whole sovereignty thing, I think the whole blossoming really is about celebrating who you are. And I think the more we do that, I love to use the example of, imagine we've got little antennas on our head. And the more true we become to ourselves, the more our antennas are going out seeking for people in our same vibe or tribe,
Mm-hmm.
And so long as our antennas are fully up, we will be able to see the antennas of those around us that are also, in sovereignty or looking to be, authentic space of, this is who I am. I don't need to put walls up. I don't need to lie about anything,
Mm-hmm.
So, that is the real, that is it. That is where it really lies.
Oh, fantastic. I love it. Amazing. So tell me a bit about this program then of yours, because I know you've been teaching one this weekend, and how often do you run them?
Yeah, sure.
Relationship intensive.
Yeah. So the relationships intensive is a complimentary event, and it runs once every 6 weeks. And so what we do is, this is normally in a swanky hotel in London. It's a full day, and women come and they get so much money. They have lots of fun with their friends, and they get lots out of it. The idea of the program is a taster, and those that really connect with me, and those that feel right, I am ready to look at the undercurrent, and I've had enough of not getting the results want in my business and my relationships and whatever it is in terms of relationships, then they say they register for our advanced program. Now, our advanced program happened this weekend, and that's on a yacht in London, which is really sexy.
Oh, fantastic.
Incredible. It's actually the only yacht hotel in London. It's the Sunbourne. It's a beautiful, beautiful venue. And we have a smaller group then. Yeah. So we have a very small group then, and we really go deep, and we go into that undercurrent, and we answer those questions around, why am I not able to create the relationship that I absolutely love? Why is it going wrong? Why do I keep repeating these patterns? And although we come in with these kind of questions, they come out with answers that they never imagined were going to change their world. We have women shifting patterns around, just little things that they don't even know they were holding on to. One of the main things is letting go of resentments and guilt, especially around past relationships or around their parents. If we're not complete with our parents, they're our source. And that will have an impact, whether we're conscious of it or not, it will have an impact on our relationships. So it's, we show them tools that are pivotal around letting go of certain resentments and guilt. And just that, whenever life throws us stuff, we're then equipped. Now, the other aspect is learning how to, you know, all the limiting beliefs that we have and all the strategies that with them. And so day one is all about clearing up all that mess. And it's just, people are just shocked. They go, oh, my God, no wonder. And this is the response I always get. Oh, my God, no wonder it wasn't working. Well, no wonder it was such hard work. No wonder being so much. And they get permission to no longer have to be there. And then day two, once we've cleared all of that, it's like, wow, well, where do I want to be instead? Well, I want to be in sovereignty, Anna. I want to be in synergy. I want to create a life that I'm passionate about. I want to create relationships that I'm passionate. You know what? I don't even know how I want to be loved. So the whole of day two is all around, how do we create a life that you're actually passionate about so that you can be in a space where you don't need anybody else. You choose to be somebody, but you no longer need anybody or anything else because your life is so full and complete, you no longer need anybody. You see? So we do something called the passion test. That's an exquisite exercise. Yeah. So the people get present to what the heck they love in life, and then we start creating from there. And then we look at, how do you want to be loved? You know, we do this massive exercise, and that brings people to tears every time, and they get present for how they've not been honoring themselves and what's important to them, and they've been playing according to other people's instruments, you know? They, you know, if you're a pianist, for example, very often we give up our piano to start playing the saxophone with someone else, and it's like, hang on a minute, well, that's not what I love to play. But we do that all the time. So the whole program is around, hang on a minute, let me let go of what's not serving me. Let me get present to my sovereignty. Let me know how to access my synergy. Know how to go into that space so that I can build my presence, my confidence, and stand grounded in what's important to me. And then finally, let me get clear on how I want to live my life and how I want to be loved. It's just, it's just so powerful. It's exquisite stuff what we do. I love it. Absolutely love it.
Oh, I can tell. You're just so passionate. And is that over 3 days?
That's actually a two-day program. Saturday and Sunday.
2 days. Goodness me. Gosh. That's amazing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We had 12 women on this program this weekend, and every single one of them came off just like, Anna, that was just life-changing. Thank you. I'm just, they're so grateful that they were there. You know, it was such a privilege to have. Yeah.
Absolutely. Wow. So what have you got coming up then? What's next?
So we have number of things. One of them, so next Relationships Intensives is the 19th of August. The next advanced program will be the 2nd and 3rd of September. And we've also got a retreat. So I'm going to be, Warren, right? Warren Ryan, inspirational speaker. And we're going to be collaborating. We're going to be running the first ever retreat around relationships and connection. That's going to be really powerful stuff. That's in October.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that's going to be a very small group. We're going to be in Asia somewhere. We've not decided yet whether it's Vietnam or Thailand, but it's certainly happening. We'll be on a villa a week, and we're going to be going deep.
I can imagine the two of you going very deep.
Because he's an incredible coach, and you know, connection is so vital here. So that's going deeper, And then 26th of August, we're running an event which is mixed. So a lot of the time I get guys asking, you know, when can I come to one of your events? And so Warren and I are running a one-day event on the 26th of August, and that is all about connection. So particularly couples, if they want to come along, or people in business who are missing out on so many clients because they're not connecting. People don't ever buy into our product or service, they buy into us. But if we're not able to connect, we can't go there. So it's all around connections. That's 26th of August. That's a Saturday. And so that's going to be an awesome day as well. So there's quite a number of things. It's all on the website anyway. We'll be sharing on Facebook.
And the website is www.relationshipsintensive.com.
That is the one. Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. There's just so much content, rich content, but also really helping women, like you say, and men. to shift out of our operating system. Like we upgrade our Apple upgrades its operating system all the time. It's like, well, shouldn't we be doing that too?
That's such a good point. I love that example, Amy. Absolutely. That's exactly what we do here. And you know, we become feel comfortable around what our operating system is, that it's like fish in water, we no longer see it.
Yeah. Amazing. Amazing. Wow. Well, thank you so much. I don't think I have any other questions at the moment. I think there's just been so much brilliant content here. I love the four different types of relationship as well. That's something definitely for our listeners to go away with and think about. And yeah, as we said, relationships plural intensive.com is the place to go.
And also, one of the main messages here as well was turning our why me into what for.
Yeah.
You know, it was only because, you know, people ask me, Anna, why relationships? Why did you end up there? You know, what happened? And I just tell my story. You know, I've gone through so many heartbreaks, so many disappointments, so many relationships. It's not just the coaching and the training and the qualifications, all of that. It's mainly what's led me there are my life experiences. So actually, it's all been written now in a book. I'm publishing my first book is coming out. I'm thinking about that.
Are you? Oh, fantastic. When's that coming out?
So Friday, 28th of July, 8 p.m. We're encouraging everybody to click on that fire button at 8 p.m. We're working at making it a bestseller. Friday UK time, 8 o'clock in the evening. And it's called Blossom and Become. And
I love it.
It's the whole idea that, you know, I spent my whole life seeking to be loved, seeking to be validated, seeking to be told I'm okay. And it took me years and years and years to finally see that actually when we blossom, the bee comes, you know, and the bee could be opportunity, could be work, could be relationship, whatever that is. So when we become, the bee comes. There's a play on words.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it.
And it's just such an exciting journey. Inspired by a fellow speaker, a friend of mine, Chris Hill, who's an addiction specialist, and we were chatting one day. He's a number one best-selling author as well, and I said, you know, Chris, how did you go about doing the book? And I know I have a book in me, but I feel like I'm going to be a burst of something, but I have no idea what to write about. And he says, well, why have you gone into relationships then? And I said, well, because of this and this. And I told him a bit of my life story, and he had tears going down his cheeks. He said, Anna, you must write that book. That's going to change so many women's lives. You must write that book. So that's what I've done. So that book is coming out.
Oh, I love it. That's so fantastic. Yeah. And I love your play on words too. Blossom and become. When we blossom, the bee comes.
Indeed. That's it. That's all we need to do. We just need to become, and then the world begins to see you. We don't need to be running around after anyone or anything. We become and the world sees you.
Yeah. That's amazing. And that becoming is sort of also like remembering who we are, coming full circle.
That's right. Exactly it, you know. Getting rid of that which doesn't serve us.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that as long as we are on this planet, we're going to have that identity. We're going to have that programming, but it's no longer being a victim of it or being blind to it, but rather knowing how to travel with it. And you can travel light as opposed to travel heavy.
Yes. Or travel magically, as I always call it.
There you go. Absolutely. I love that. I love that idea.
Yeah. Oh, wonderful. Well, I can't wait to read your book.
Thank you, Amy.
It sounds amazing.
So if anyone wants to, they can register from now to book themselves, to register, to save a copy for themselves for the 28th of July. I can send you that link there, that as well. We can do that.
Yeah, or read it out, or you can put it under the posts that we've put all over social media as well. So.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, Anna, thank you so much. This has really been very insightful. I've thoroughly enjoyed it, and I'm sure our guests have too. So I look forward to catching up with you again at some point soon. And in the meantime, I love that you're in London as well. It's great. So in the meantime, if anybody wants to get in touch with Anna, again, go to relationshipsintensive.com. And otherwise, thank you all so very much for listening, everyone. Be sure to tune in 2 weeks' time. Actually, I've just remembered, I wanted to ask you before I sign off, given that it's a Being Brilliant show, I almost forgot the key bit. What would you say to the Being Brilliant listeners are the top three, your top three tips for being brilliant?
Oh, I love that. Wow, that is an awesome question. Well, I think essentially one, remember who you are. You know, you're not your past, you're not your emotions. They come and go like clouds. Number one, remember you are the sun. You don't need to be satelliting around anybody else. Number two, it's not about why me, but what for.
Yeah.
And, you know, your life will change just from that alignment. And number three, it's okay to go into codependent, to go into aloof, to go into dominant submissive. It's about knowing that you can choose synergy at any time and know that you are whole and complete just the way you are. So that third one, synergy is always a choice. Energy, you know, sovereignty, knowing who you are and standing in that, knowing that you can be the soul of any place at any time.
Love it. Thank you so much. I love that. I'm glad we got those in there as a quick summary of really what we've been talking about here today. So everybody, thank you again so much for listening. Be sure to tune in and again in 2 weeks from now. And in the meantime, go out there and be your brilliant selves. Be the lighthouse, shine your light, no matter how fierce the storm. Go out there and be brilliant. Thanks so much, Anna. It's been a huge pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. You take care.
And you. Bye for now.
Bye.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Imagine the possibilities starting with the letters SL and P. Imagine a super lavish penthouse, a stimulating little plunge in a serene lap pool, and imagine sailing lovely places with several lively parrots. All because you're some lucky person. Discover your SL and P with Super Lotto Plus from the California Lottery. Now until June 30th, buy 5 plays, get one free. Please play responsibly. Must be 18 years or older to play. Visit calottery.com for official rules. Imagine the possibilities starting with the letters SL and P. Imagine a super lavish penthouse, a stimulating little plunge in a serene lap pool, and imagine sailing lovely places with several lively parrots. All because you're some lucky person. Discover your SL and P with Super Lotto Plus from the California Lottery. Now until June 30th, buy 5 plays, get one free. Please play responsibly. Must be 18 years or older to play. Visit calottery.com for official rules.